Hello and welcome to the WIP, named such because it is a what-if podcast and will always probably sound like a work in progress. This show is intended to recap the Marvel what-if series in a roundabout way. I started this because I've just recently finished my collection of all 200 plus of the existing what-ifs out there. And I started collecting those back in the day because, I don't know, I just like them because they're fun. You know, they're like small, self-contained stories where a lot of stuff happens. They're really dense, you know, just action, bing, bang, boom, because this is all just happening in the space of one issue. And, you know, you can have a lot of wacky stuff happen. Characters die. So many characters die. Radical redesigns, you know, stuff. And it's a good philosophical take on the road less taken, or so we would convince ourselves. So, this won't be in any chronological order or numerical order. I'm just sort of going to group together issues of what-ifs. Probably won't do them all, considering I don't know anyone wants to hear me talk about 200 issues of a comic book series. Where else better to start than the beginning? This is What If Volume 1, Number 1, What If Spider-Man Had Joined the Fantastic Four, or some such. Basically, starting out, the first image we see is that of the Watcher. Basically establishes the trope in the What Ifs of the Watcher acting as a narrator and introducing the tale, and in as much, he explains to us multiverse theory, which can just be a trip down the rabbit hole and into its own self. You know, we know there are myriad different takes on at least the Marvel Universe in its own multiverse. I guess the regular one, as it would be, is Earth 616, but then every single Earth after that is numbered. So, you know, 1 to 1 jillion. And that in itself brings up a time travel paradox, if there's even a paradox in a paradox. Stuff that happens in Earth 616 is when somebody travels back in time and alters Earth 616's reality. Did it always occur in this multiverse theory? Is it just a separate Earth? Or is, in fact, this single Earth 616 split into 616A and then 616 regular, and will converge when obviously things go back to the status quo? Think about the Age of Apocalypse, Legion, whoever that is, Professor X's son, of course, travels back in time and kills Professor X. So Earth 616 becomes the Age of Apocalypse because that's the one we're looking at, I guess. But if we're to subscribe to this multiverse theory, then the Age of Apocalypse existed the entire time, and the Earth 616 still exists parallel to the Age of Apocalypse Earth. So it's sort of, you know, makes even less sense than it is intended to, I guess, in terms of comic books. But, you know, like I said, we could go down the rabbit hole and just start discussing multiverse theory forever because, you know, paradoxes don't really resolve themselves, and that's why a lot of them don't exist in real life. So, in this intro, the Watcher kind of looks weird. He's had a variable appearance. Now, I think they've kind of settled into a big, giant head and a skinny body, but there are meteor-looking Watchers in this first What If series. This one kind of looks like a jar head, sort of like an Archie character or something like that. But this explanation of the multiverse theory includes an appearance by fan favorite Deathlok, baby. Yes, Deathlok will be making an appearance on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and was referred to as a fan favorite. Now, I don't know who's just saying, oh yeah, Deathlok, that's what we needed. He's my favorite. Who says Deathlok is my favorite? He's been like three different guys. This will be a fourth one in the TV series. You know, it's what, a cyborg? Woo! But I digress. So we get into the meat of What If Number 1, and it recounts Amazing Spider-Man Number 1 at length, but oh snap, just when Spider-Man is about to refute the offer of the joining the Fantastic Four, which occurred in Amazing Spider-Man Number 1, the Watcher drops a time stop, and we get to see what happened if Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four. And wouldn't you know, just like the cover, they become the Fantastic Five. And in fact, this action establishes another what-if trope that's common throughout the entire series. Character redesigns just for the fun of it. So the Fantastic Four become the Fantastic Five. They have their little blue jumpers with five on the front. But Spider-Man still keeps his own togs because, you know, he's got swag. They know where the bread is buttered. Spider-Man's, you know, got a universally recognized costume, so he's going to keep it. But he has a silly little five in the black thorax of the spider on his chest. So, The Fantastic Five, not to be confused with the ridiculous MC2 Fantastic Five, which included, Old Man Johnny Storm, and I think there was a robot in there or something. I don't even know. So, the Fantastic Five go about their merry adventures, you know, that features the Vulture, that gorilla guy, is it Red Gorilla or the Red Ape? Is that it? I'm not sure. He's Red Gorilla Man. I think he's a Russian, and they launch monkeys into space, clearly. Puppet Master and Namor. And if you want to have another sort of down-the-rabbit-hole moment, Puppet Master. So he controls people by shaping magic clay, or as they say, radioactive clay, because apparently radiation doesn't give you cancer, it just gives you magic powers. But he shapes this clay into the shape of someone and can control them. But what if it doesn't really look like them? Like, what if it's just a reasonable facsimile? Does it just sort of give them a nudge? Do they sort of just start having, like, Parkinson's or something? Like, they have uncontrollable movements because they can kind of control themselves, but the Puppet Master's trying to make their arm go up? Are we just supposed to believe this Puppet Master is sitting in his apartment alone, just playing with dolls and making them talk to each other? And can they make him kiss or something? But, the Puppet Master is controlling Namor, which I guess occurred in Fantastic Four number 14 or something. And this tale resolves itself with a climactic battle with Namor. And, spoiler alert, the Invisible Woman chooses to become an Atlantean through one of Namor's comic book logic-powered machines. And so she has to live underwater for the rest of her life, while the Fantastic Five become four bros. And, you know, as is the case with some of these what-ifs, the universe tends to resolve itself. So Fantastic Five become the Fantastic Four because, really, there should only be four. In summation, the first issue is a good trip through the Marvel Silver Age stories. If you know, especially looking back now, if you want to take a snapshot and sort of walk through all of these different issues and events at like breakneck speed, as is the what if standard, it's pretty good. Obviously, it's good enough that the series continued. And you know, if you just want to have sort of a nostalgic or child-eyed wonder at the Silver Age stories, then it's a good read. The Invisible Woman staying with Namor underwater as an Atlantean also establishes another what-if trope, permanent change that would never stick in actual continuity. Because even if this happened, you know, in Earth 616 or whatever you want to call it, I'd give it six issues for, you know, Reed Richards feels sad, and then we're back. And I'm just going to say now, discussing the cover, I feel it's maybe it's just because I'm a nerd for what-ifs. But I feel that the first issue is iconic in its own right. The Fantastic Five bursting through Amazing Spider-Man number one in the background, contrasting the color, a lot of reds and blues popping against a black and white. And it really pops, and I think it forms its own iconic image. You know, it's not going to be known up there with a lot of the famous ones. But, you know, it's a bold image and makes for a good start to the What If series. So we'll take pause here, and we'll be back to discuss a couple more issues from the early runs. Two more, to be exact, and they involve Captain America, so stay tuned. If you think you've stumbled onto the ramblings of a madman, you're kind of right, because this is the WIP, the What If podcast. In our last segment, we discussed What If Volume 1, Number 1, what place else better to start than the beginning. In this segment, we'll discuss What If Volume 1, Number 4. 2 and 3 are fine, I suppose, but we'll get to them eventually. As I said before, this is sort of a roundabout roundup of the What If series. Number four is important because it takes place in actual Marvel continuity, a fact that is confirmed both by, the internets and by the letter page in the issue itself, which was taken over for an editorial for this issue. So number four asks, what if the invaders kept fighting in World War II? So Bucky was still killed and Captain America was still frozen in this reality, which is actual reality. But it includes the origins of Bucky 2, some guy with freckles. Bucky doesn't have freckles, as they say in the comic. And the Spirit of 76, who becomes Captain America 2. Yeah, Spirit of 76. Woo, he is on the long line of patriotic-themed heroes who don't really mean diddly. You've got Spirit of 76. Later in this issue, the Patriot... You know, the right winger, the left winger, Jack Flag, the U.S. agent, I guess, sticks around a little more, but honestly, by definition, he's a ripoff of Captain America. So Marvel's just tried to pump out a lot of these patriotic superheroes because, you know, it makes for easy design. Throw some stars on there, some red, some white, some blue, some boots, and yeah, you got yourself a good enough hero because, honestly, who doesn't love fighting for America? What if number four starts running through the events around the end of the European front in World War II, and it features a few panels, including the Human Torch, the android version, killing Hitler in his bunker. Wow. And just to cover, to try and jive with reality, he has the person with him, Hitler, tells the person with him to tell the world that he committed suicide. So, in theory, I guess Marvel's trying to have us believe that the Human Torch is real and actually killed Hitler. Okay. I don't know why this is necessary, why the Human Torch has to kill Hitler and he didn't, you know, history can't resolve itself, considering it's not like in the comic book, Captain America didn't prevent the Holocaust, you know, it still happened. All of the atrocities of war still happened. Captain America just, you know, what, fought Hydra? Oh no. But I digress. So, as I mentioned before, the notes in this issue say it may or may not have happened in actual reality, and may or may not happen in the Invaders series future, which is the 1940s via the 1970s. So this is taking place in that series' future, which is still in the past. So, yeah, there's some time-traveling paradox for you. The Invaders partner up with Spirit of 76, a.k.a. Captain America 2, and Bucky 2, a.k.a. Who Cares, and fight the Japs in the Pacific Front. So, eventually, they make their way to Boston and have to save Senator John F. Kennedy. Because, you know, it just ties it up, makes it nice and historical, and woo-hoo, it all comes together. So this scene includes the aforementioned Patriot, who strikes possibly the most awkward pose in comics ever, more awkward than Rogue in a bikini pinup, or even Spider-Man swinging from a web, circa, you know, early 1990s, they're always sticking their legs in the air. Or, in the case of Rogue, sticking the boobs way out into a position that isn't barely possible and not comfortable to stand in. But our friend the Patriot here has one leg literally coming out of his chin and the other leg flying backwards at an angle while he's like face down ass up. It's hard to describe because like not even Rob Liefeld could draw something that awkward looking. And so this story in What If Number 4 that I've so graciously glossed over features, spoiler alert, the death of Spirit 76. And it's in continuity, according to various Wikipedia pages and Marvel's official webpage, and I think the official handbook of the Marvel Universe, possibly the Dead edition, lists his death as What If Number 4. So congratulations, Spirit of 76. You're possibly the only character to feature a real in-continuity death in a What If. You got it, buddy. That's about the only thing of note you'll ever do, because you're just another rip-off Patriot hero. We see a third Captain America. Once again, the Patriot rears his ugly head. And I assume, as strikes awkward poses as Captain America, possibly like putting his arm through his leg and out his crotch to catch his shield, just because, you know, he's wacky like that. We don't know what's going to happen in, you know, 20 years when Captain America is revived in the 60s by the Avengers because he's still frozen. Actually, in the letters section that mentioned about how this is possibly in continuity, it brings up a good point. In this Invaders series, it'll never get to the end of World War II. So, you know, you feel bad for the citizens of this quasi-alternate reality that the Invaders series in the 70s took in, because they'll never leave World War II. So, in summation, issue number 4 is important because it's actually a part of the bizarre time-warped 1940s via 1970s futures past, or past's futures, Earth 616 continuity. Holy moly. That was a lot of time warp. So, in our next segment, we'll review the next issue, also dealing with Cap. It's issue number 5. What if Volume 1, Number 5 features, what if Captain America and Bucky survived World War II? That's right, a few seconds on that motorcycle that Captain America jumped to save Bucky, or didn't save Bucky, I guess, and then the explosion, but in here, they just get tossed into the water after a plane crashes, so they survive that, obviously. The characters go about their merry way. We just gloss over the 50s. Bucky grows up, becomes Buck Barnes, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And this brings up an important point. The phrase Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. can make any character seemingly seem way more important than they actually are. You know, Stilt Man, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Impossible Man, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Machine Man, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Man, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Carl Winslow, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, we know this is an alternate universe because Captain America ages. Oh my god. Unlike the regular continuity where the Super Soldier Serum basically gives him immortality. Even if he's had, you know, his health bar reset by time travel, a cloned body, or any other comic book magic that they just dream up. Because Captain America, unlike every other superhero, is attached to a very specific place and time. 1941, America. Gotta fight the Nazis. They can sort of redo characters' origins or just say, yeah, they've been at it for a few years. Like Spider-Man, I guess he's been at it for 5 years. So, you know, he's pushing 50 years as Spider-Man, but that is just equates to 5, even though he's already grown up and had an apartment and gotten married. So what, maybe 10 or 15 years? He's in his 30s. But the time gets sort of stretchy with all these other people, because they can just, you know, it happened a while ago that they got their powers. But we know when Cap did. So you get the realization, like, the time he's been frozen gets longer and longer. But in here, Captain America ages. So, hey, guess what? Buck Barnes, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., he becomes Captain America, so the Winter Soldier lives. But, you know, of course, spoiler alert, like many characters, Bucky can't escape the specter of death, even in alternate universes. You know, characters like Uncle Ben, Gwen Stacy, they must die. So Bucky is killed in action. And, you know, we get the ellipse, ... ending as Steve Rogers, director of S.H.I.E.L.D., is talking to Rick Jones, who would become the second Bucky when Bucky saved Rick Jones from the Hulk. And Rick Jones says he might become the third Captain America. But, you know, that's for another day. Because, you know, you can just keep going on and on, I guess. They just take ancillary characters. And apparently, all you need to do is have a fighting spirit. And you can be Captain America. Even though the original Captain America is, you know, by definition, the pinnacle of human perfection. All in all, this issue features some decent artwork. Like, I really like the way they did Baron Zemo's mask. You know, it's flat, but it's got facial features on it. And this establishes another what-if trope, the Captain America cliche, which asks, you know, what if he was revived now? What if he was revived later? What if he was revived in the future? What if he was revived in the past? What if he had never been frozen? What if he remained frozen? What if he had been 4 different people? Basically screwing around with Captain America, and especially his resuscitation, becomes quite the important what-if trope. So, in all, What If Volume 1, Numbers 1, 4, and 5. I figured that was a good little cluster to start out with in this WIP podcast. Next time, I will discuss the Fantastic Four and their powers and variations thereof. We're going to go through an entire what-if trope all in one episode because, honestly, I don't feel like talking about all of these at length because it's sort of, eh, they have different powers, stuff happens. But then again, I've just described all of comic books in general if you think about it too hard. So, thank you, and we'll see ya.